إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. نعم. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in this, our 11th lecture, concerning the explanation of matters of creed or aqidah, as they have been outlined in question and answer format by Hafiz, the great scholar Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, in his book entitled A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, yani the milestones or the signposts that are along the road of the people who are interested in knowing what is the correct creed or the correct aqidah of Al-Ta'ifa and Najiyah and Mansura, yani the victorious and saved group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make victorious in this world in one way or another, and that those who would be saved in the next life from the punishment that will befall those who have deviated, even temporarily, and those who have disbelieved permanently. Alaykum as-salam. In the previous lectures, we have discussed a number of points. Recently, we have discussed the second aspect of the deen of Allah, that is al-Iman. After having discussed the pillars of Islam, the five pillars of Islam. And in this section dealing with al-Imam, the Shaykh al-Allama al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he has begun to discuss the first pillar of Iman, that is al-Iman billahi, having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this discussion, he has gone into great detail to explain this very important fundamental, that is the believing in Allah, which entails, as he said in one of the earlier questions under this section, that it entails the confirmation or the affirmation of Allah's existence, and then the confirmation or the affirmation of the aspects of a tawheed that are confirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah, that is tawheed ar-rububiyyah, concerning Allah's lordship, that He is the creator and the provider and the one who controls the affairs of the universe, as well as tawheed al-uluhiyyah or ubudiyyah, which deals with the fact that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And under that topic, he talked about the opposite of tawheed al-uluhiyyah, and that is ash-shirk, and that is there are two types, major and minor shirk. And then finally, he entered into the topic of tawheed al-asma wa sifat, the tawheed that deals with the names of Allah and His characteristics. And under this section, because of the importance of it and the lack of knowledge amongst many of the people, meaning the Muslims, of course, because of this, he has listed a number of questions dealing with the tawheed of the names of Allah, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has the right to be described with the most beautiful names, al-asma, al-husna, and with the sublime or lofty characteristics, the sifat, al-ula, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with or named himself with, and that his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with or named him with in the authentic sunnah. In the last lecture, one of the questions that we talked about, it mentioned that the meanings that are derived from the name of Allah Al-Ali, Al-A'la. And the Shaykh has said concerning this, that what this confirms, this name, what it confirms is the characteristic for Allah, the sifa of Al-Ulu, Al-Ulu. And he has said that this Ulu, it is confirmed for Allah in all of its meanings. And he said that he mentioned three types of Al-Ulu, Ulu Fawqiyatihi. Yani the loftiness or the highness, the exaltedness of Allah's Fawqiyah, His being above everything of the creation. And this actually, it is referred to by some of the scholars as Fawqiyat al-Dhat. Yani Ulu al-Fawqiyah, it means that Allah Himself, that His divine being is above the heavens and the earth and above the throne. Then he mentioned Ulu Qahrihi, yani Allah's supremacy, that He has subdued and conquered and vanquished everything in the creation, and everything is in submission and humbled before Him and His power and His authority. And then he mentioned Ulu Sha'nihi, yani the loftiness of His status or His rank. And this has been referred to by most of the scholars as Fawqiyat al-Qadr or Ulu al-Qadr. And this means, as Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi said, Ulu al-Qadr, or as Shaykh al-Hakimi refers to here, Ulu Sha'nihi. He said it refers to the highness or the loftiness of Allah's characteristics, Allah's greatness and His glory and His majesty. After this he mentioned the evidences for this fawqiyah of Allah being above the creation from both the Qur'an as well as the sunnah. And the question that remains concerning Allah's, the loftiness or the highness of Allah's, that what remains concerning that is the final question related to that before going on to the other type of al-ulu, ulu al-qahr. The question that the Shaykh al-Hakimi rahimahullah mentions, question number 67, what have the a'immat al-deen min as-salaf as-salih? What have they said? ماذا قال أئمت الدين من السلف الصالح في مسألة الاستواء؟ يعني what have the imams, the leaders, the scholars of this deen, the deen of Allah, what have they said? Those specifically he mentioned من السلف الصالح. يعني not the scholars of today, but what did the scholars of the early generations, the righteous predecessors, the first generations of the Muslims, the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een and the Atba Tabi'een, what did they say concerning this issue of al-istiwa, ascension, Allah's ascending above the throne, Allah rising above the throne, as mentioned in the proofs from the previous questions, both from the Quran as well as the Sunnah? What did the righteous predecessors, the scholars from amongst the early generations of the Muslims, what did they say concerning al-istiwa, the ascension of Allah above the throne? Then he says that their statement, all of them, rahimahumullah ta'ala, it is that al-istiwa ghayra majhool. That istiwa, the ascending of Allah above the throne, it is not unknown. It is not unknown. Some of the narrations from Al-Imam Malik have a different wording. However, this wording is more accurate, as Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen explained in differentiating between the two narrations or the two statements that have been reported from the scholars, especially Al-Imam Malik, concerning this. He said, Al-Istiwa غَيْرُ majhul. Some of the narrations said, Al-Istiwa is ma'loom. Al-Istiwa is known. However, in this statement, he said, it is not unknown. And the meaning is basically the same. وَالْكَيْفْ غَيْرُ ma'qul. And the how of Allah's ascending, yani His ascension, it is known. The meaning of it is known in the Arabic language. It is very clear what this expression, istiwa, what it means in Arabic. It is known what it means. As most of the scholars of Sunnah said, it means al-ulu, highness, or irtifa, that He went up, or su'ud, that He rose up. This is the meaning of istiwa. However, the how of it, how does Allah ascend? He said, this is غير معقول. In some of the narrations, He said, غير معلوم. Yani istiwa is known, but the how of it is unknown. Here, in this narration it is more particular, it said it is غير معقول, meaning it cannot be known by the عقل. The intellect cannot understand the how of Allah's characteristics, His qualities or His actions. Just as we cannot know how is Allah's divine being, we don't know how it is. We know that Allah exists, but how is it, we don't know. And likewise His actions and His qualities and His characteristics, we don't know. There are only two ways to know, either by the intellect, by using the intellect, or by revelation. Allah has not revealed the how of it. And here, Al-Imam Malik, as it is reported from him, he said the how of it is غير معقول. It cannot be known by the عقل. It cannot be known by the mind. Therefore, if it cannot be understood by the mind, and no revelation has come concerning it, then it is not possible to know it. وَالْإِيمَانْ بِهِ wajib. While believing or having faith in it is obligatory, وَالسُّؤَالْ anhu bid'ah, and asking about it is innovation. Asking about the how of Allah's characteristics and His qualities and His actions, how does He ascend, how does He descend? This is innovation. Because the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they have not asked him about it. They have not asked him how. They know what he means in Arabic language when he said, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Then Allah ascended above the arsh. They understood the meaning of it. As for the how of it, exactly how does he ascend, they didn't know and they didn't ask. And the Prophet didn't explain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor did the later generations who came after them ask how. Therefore, asking about it, it is innovation. Then, some of the scholars like the Shaykh of Al-Imam Malik, his Shaykh, Rabi'a ibn Abi Abdurrahman, rahimahullah, he added to the statement, he said, وَمِنَ اللَّهِ الرِّسَالَةِ, that the message, it is from Allah. وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِ الْبَلَاغِ, and it is upon the messenger to deliver it. The message is from Allah, and it is the responsibility of the messenger to deliver it. وَعَلَيْنَا التَّصْدِيقِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ, and it is upon us, the true believers, to merely believe in it. التَّصْدِيقِ, to testify to the truthfulness of it. وَالتَّسْلِيمِ, and to submit to it with full submission, without questioning it or arguing over it. This is the answer that Shaykh Al-Hakami rahimahullah has given concerning the statement of the imams of this deen from amongst the Salaf al-Salih concerning the issue of istiwa. That istiwa, it is something which is not unknown. Its meaning is known. The how of it, it is not possible to know by the intellect. It is not possible. Believing in it is obligatory because Allah has confirmed it in the Quran in clear language and the Prophet ﷺ have confirmed it in authentic hadith. Therefore it is wajib to believe in it. وَالسُّؤَالْ anhu, meaning asking about the how of it, the kayfiyah of it, that is innovation. The message is from Allah, the deliverance of that message is upon the Messenger of Allah and it is our responsibility to believe in it and to submit to it. He said, this is what they have said concerning all of the ayat in the Quran concerning the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah and that which has come in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what they have said concerning these ayat and this is what they have said concerning these ahadith that deal with the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. They said, as Allah said in the Quran in Surah Al-Ali Imran chapter 3 verse 7, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believe in it. We believe in it. That is the tasdeeq. كُلٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that is the tasleem. All of it is from our Lord. Therefore we submit to it and we surrender and we don't debate or argue or attempt to refute it. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3 verse 52, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that we believe in Allah. That is the tasdeeq of what Allah has delivered, the testifying to the truthfulness of it. وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, therefore bear witness that we are of the Muslims, those who submit and who surrender to that which has been delivered through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that which he has delivered concerning this matter, it is that which is required of the Muslims to believe in concerning the ulu or the loftiness or the highness, the exaltedness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of the meanings of al-ulu as he has mentioned in the previous question. In the next question he talks about another aspect of al-ulu. Yani he talked already about ulu fawqiyatihi, that Allah's being above, that it is a highness of his being above. And now he talks about ulu al-qahr. Al-qahr, it means to conquer or to vanquish or to subdue, that everything is subjected in total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the one that is supreme over everything through his might and through his power. So everything has to submit to him and humble itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, what is the proof? What is the dalil of ulu al-qahr min al-kitab, from the Qur'an? What is the evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's supremacy over everything, that it is high, that it is not like the conquering or the vanquishing of the creatures, but it is high above everything. There is no other one along with him in this characteristic. He is supreme over all. He said the evidences of this are many. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 18. And there is almost an exact statement similar to this, or at least the phrase that he has quoted from this ayat, it is also repeated in the same chapter, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 61, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-qahir فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, he is the one who is supreme over his servants, over all the servants. Everything is in total submission to him. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ, and he is the one who is all-wise in the way that he controls the affairs of the universe. And he is khabir, the one who knows best what is in the interests of his creatures in his ruling over them. Some of the scholars said, هُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, it means he is al-ali al-ghalib, but he is the one who is very high, and he is the one who has overcome everything in the creation. He said, this ayat, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, that he is the one who is supreme above his servants. He said, this contains, the meaning contains two meanings, ulu al-qahr, and it also contains the meaning of al-fawqiyya. Yani these two meanings are contained here, ulu al-qahr, that Allah's supremacy over everything, it is high. And it also contains the meaning of fawqiyya, that Allah is above, that Allah is above, because he said he is al-qahir fawqa ibadihi. He is not just al-qahir, but he is al-qahir fawqa ibadihi. Also from the proofs of the highness of Allah's qahr, or his supremacy over everything, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 4. And the Shaykh quotes the portion of the ayat which mentions that which he means to use as a proof, Subhanahu huwa Allahu al-wahidul qahhar. And the beginning of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوَ رَضَ اللَّهُ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا لَاصْطَفَى مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, that if Allah, it is not so, but if Allah wanted to take a son, as they claim, as they falsely attribute to him, that he has a son, or that he has a spouse, or that he has whatever they have falsely attributed to him, he said, if Allah wanted to take a son, لَاصْطَفَى مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, then he would have chosen from that which he created, from his creatures, he would have chosen whatever he wills. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not take a son. It is not becoming, it is not befitting of Allah's majesty and his greatness and his glory that he take a son. But were he to take a son, it wouldn't be by marriage and giving birth. It would be by taking something from the creatures that he has created as a son for him. But that is also unbefitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he refutes such an idea by saying, as the Shaykh has quoted here, Subhanahu, Subhanahu. At-tasbih, it means it is the affirmation of perfection for Allah. And it is the negation of any type of imperfection for Allah. And that which they accused him of taking a son, that is imperfection. Allah has no need of a son. So he said, Subhanahu, huwa Allahu al-wahidul qahhar. That he is Allah. How can he take a son? He is Allah al-wahid al-qahhar. The one, unique. Al-qahhar, the one who's supreme over everything. There are six verses in the Quran that mention these two names together. Al-wahid al-qahhar. In fact, every place where al-qahhar came in the Quran, it came with this name, al-wahid. Al-wahid al-qahhar. And some of the scholars have discussed this point. Another verse that he mentions, which contains these two names, is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ghafir, chapter 40, verse 16. لِمَن الْمُلْقَ الْيَوْمِ To whom belongs the sovereignty or the dominion or the kingdom al-yawm? This is on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the people all in front of Him. And everything of their matter, everything will be seen, nothing will be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creatures with their defects and their shortcomings and their weakness and their inability, it will all be clear and it will be obvious. And at that time it will be said, لِمَنِ الْمُلْقَ الْيَوْمِ Yani, whose is the kingdom or the authority or the dominion al-yawm, on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَّارِ That it all belongs to Allah, Al-Wahid, the One who is unique, and there is no other one besides Him to share with Him, or to be equal to Him, or to be compared to Him. He is Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, the One who is supreme and powerful over everything. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Sad, chapter 38, verse 65, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ Yani, he is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ That indeed, verily, I am only a warner. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't have any authority except that which Allah has sent him to fulfill. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرُ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ And there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ In the Arabic language, the meaning of this is the same as La ilaha. Wa ma min ilahin. There's absolutely no ilah. Illa Allah. Except Allah al-Wahid al-Qahhar. The one who is unique and He is supreme over everything. Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, concerning this ayat in his tafsir, he discussed the meaning of the ayat from the beginning of it, and the meaning here of وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ He said it means that there is no one that deserves to be worshipped, or there is no one, يعني يُعْبَد بِحَقٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ There is no one that is worshipped with the right, يعني no one that is worshipped that has a right to be worshipped except Allah. الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَارِ He said, It means that this is the confirmation or the affirmation of Allah's uluhiyah. Yani, these two names are to confirm that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. When he said, وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, the proof of it, or from the proofs of it, is that he is al-wahid al-qahhar. He is the one who is one and alone and unique, and who is supreme over everything. He said this is the confirmation of his uluhiyah, with this clear and definite, decisive proof that he is alone and that he has conquered or vanquished everything. For indeed, al-qahr, yani this characteristic of supremacy or vanquishing or conquering everything, it is inseparable from the characteristic of being unique. It is inseparable. That's why he said Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. He said because there cannot be two conquerors that are equal in their ability to conquer or to overcome or to vanquish. There cannot be two of them. Therefore there can only be one who is the true conqueror. That is the one who has conquered everything. And he is the one that there is nothing like him. He is the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, just as he is the one who is supreme. Alone, there is no other supreme being with him, therefore he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. He said this has also been confirmed, the fact that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, in the end of the ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنُهُمَا That he is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them. He is the creator of them, and he is the one who nourishes them, and he is the one who controls them. With every type of control or arranging of their affairs. And this is also a confirmation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, His right to be worshipped alone. Then the Shaykh also mentions other ayats that are similar in meaning of this proof, that the proofs of Allah's loftiness or His highness in terms of His supremacy and His power and authority over everything. He mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 56, مَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا, that there is no creature that is crawling or moving on the earth, there is no creature living on the earth, except that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is taking it by its forelock, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the control over it, absolute and complete control over it. And likewise, similar to this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter 55, verse 33, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some of the scholars said, that this also, this ayat, it is related to the mawqif, or the situation that the people will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah will inform them of their inability and of their weakness and the perfection of His authority, and that His will is the only will that is executed, and His power over the people. He will inform them of this, and then He will say to them, like in a way of a challenge to them, Ya ma'ashar al-jinn wal-ins, O assembly of jinn and men, in istata'atum an tanfudhu min aqtar as-samawati wal-ard, fanfudhu, that if you are able to go beyond the zones or the regions of the heavens and the earth, yani if you are able to escape from the dominion, from the kingdom and the authority and the power of Allah, fanfudhu, then go forth. If you are able to do so, Allah challenged them, can they escape from His authority? La tanfudhuna illa bisultan, but they will never be able to escape, they will never be able to go outside of the authority of Allah, because Allah's authority is supreme over the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them. Therefore, they will never have any ability to do so. They cannot do so except with an authority, and the whole of the authority belongs to Allah alone. So this is what the Shaykh has mentioned concerning the proofs of the qahr, the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the highness of His qahr over the whole of the creation. And then he mentioned in question number 69, what is the dalil or the evidence of Allah's qahr from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he said the evidences from the sunnah are many. From amongst them is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, in Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah in the Sunan. He said, "A'udhu bika min sharri kulli dabatin anta akhidhun binasiyatiha." That I seek refuge in You, Allah, from the evil of every moving creature, that You are taking it by its forelock, that You have control over, that You have power over. That is every creature that is in the earth, or that is in above the earth or below the earth in existence. Also of the proofs from the sunnah, he said, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and the Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has declared this hadith to be sahih in a number of his books, including Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha and Kalim al-Tayyib and other books. He said that this hadith is sahih, even though some of those who have checked Alam al-Sunnah, some of the editions of it in the notes, some of them have questioned the authenticity of this hadith. However, the Shaykh has given a lengthy discussion of it in its Sahiha, proving its authenticity. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni abduka wa ibnu abdika وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاءك. O Allah, verily I am Your slave and the son of Your slave and the son of Your female slave, and my forelock is in Your hand, yani it is under Your control, that I am under Your authority completely, and Your ruling, Your hukm, it is ماض في, yani it is executed, it is ongoing, the ruling that Allah has made, it is yani executed in my life. وَعَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكَ, and whatever You have decreed, يعني, or Your justice, يعني, عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكَ, يعني, what You have decreed, it is just. يعني, what You have decreed concerning me, it is indeed just. And this is also a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control over everything. In the words, نَاصِيَتِي بِيَدِكَ, يعني, that my forelock is in Your hand, meaning, يعني the complete control, it is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith which is reported by An-Nasa'i, the Tirmidhi and the Sunan, and others have reported it, and that hadith is also sahih, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu min walayk wa la yu'izzu min adayk, that, O Allah, verily you are the one who decrees, who decides what will happen in this universe, and there's no one who can decide over what you have decided. Indeed, no one whom you have taken as an ally can be abased or degraded, and no one can be honored if you take them as your enemy. And this is in the dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught concerning the qunut. Then the Shaykh talks about the third aspect of al-ulu that he mentioned in the earlier question, yani the first of them being the ulu of the that, ulu fawqiyatihi, that Allah's divine being is high, and the second of them being the ulu of his qadr, or his qahr, yani his power and authority and supremacy over everything. And in this one he talks about ulu al-sha'n. Some of the scholars like Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di and Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, they have referred to this aspect of al-ulu as al-ulu al-qadr, al-qadr. Yani, meaning the status or the rank, that Allah's status or His rank, it is very high. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he said, this ulu, it means ulu sifatihi wa azamatihi. He said it means the highness of His characteristics and the greatness of His characteristics, and that there is nothing of the creatures that can be similar to Him or equal to Him in those characteristics. It means that Allah's sifat are very high, that they are lofty, that they are sublime, that they are high and above everything. And the Shaykh in this question, he says, what is the dalil for the ulu al-sha'n, the highness or the loftiness of Allah's rank or His state or condition? He said, and also, وَمَا الَّذِي يَجِبُ نَفْيُهُ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And also, what is it that must be denied or disavowed or negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عز وجل, the mighty and the majestic? What is it that must be negated or disavowed, that must be rejected or disclaimed in reference to the highness of Allah's sifat, His characteristics, and His qualities? The Shaykh said, know that ulu al-sha'n, it is ma tadammanuhu ismuhu al-quddus as-salam al-kabir al-muta'al wa ma fi ma'anaha. He said that ulu al-sha'n, it means it is that which is indicated, or that which is composed within His name al-quddus. Yani the sifa or the characteristic that is derived or is understood from His name Al-Quddus, this is what is meant by ulu al-sha'n, that Allah's sifat are very high. As-salam, the one who is free from defects. Al-kabir, the great. Al-muta'al, the most high. And also all of those names that are similar in meaning, that contain such meaning. This is what he means by ulu al-sha'n. It is that description that is contained in such names as Al-Quddus, As-Salam, Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al, and whatever has similar meaning, in addition to وَاسْتَلْزَمَتْهُ جَمِيعُ صِفَاتْ كَمَالِهِ وَنُعُوتْ جَلَالِهِ. In addition to everything that is required or necessitated by His characteristics of perfection and His descriptions of majesty and glory. Yani all of Allah's sifat of kamal, of perfection, and His nu'ut of jalal, of majesty and glory, all of these characteristics also entail or indicate the meaning of ulu al-sha'n, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His rank and that His state, it is very high. And then the Shaykh, after making the statement that ulu al-sha'n, yani it refers to that which is contained in such names as Al-Quddus As-Salam, and that which is necessitated if one would reflect upon all of His characteristics of perfection and His characteristics of majesty and glory. After stating this, then he gives a number of examples that clarify in detail what is the meaning of ulu al-sha'n. And he said, فَتَعَالَ فِي أَحَدِيَتِهِ فَتَعَالَ فِي أَحَدِيَتِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His characteristic of ahadiyah, yani of His being ahad, being one and unique, that there is nothing similar equal to him. He said, فَتَعَالِ, yani Allah is high above and far removed. Concerning this characteristic of ahadiyya, the characteristic of being unique, if we understand that this is confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is one and that He is unique, then He said, we must declare Allah to be high above and far removed from the possibility of there being for anyone or anything in the creation mulk, that they have any sovereignty. Or qistun minhu, or any share of the sovereignty. Or that they be a helper for him, or a supporter for him, or an intercessor with him without his permission, or that they may have any authority over that which Allah has authority over. He said that Allah is far above and high removed from such possibility. In terms of his characteristic of ahadiyya, his uniqueness, then there is no one that shares with him in anything in this creation, not as a helper or a supporter, or an intercessor without his permission. وَتَعَالَ فِي عَظَمَتِهِ وَكِبْرِيَائِهِ وَمَلَقُوتِهِ وَجَبَرُوتِهِ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must negate from him and declare him to be high above and far removed concerning his azama, his greatness, and his kibriya, his pride, and his malakut, yani his sovereignty, and his jabarut, his omnipotence, or his powerful, his power over everything. We must declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be high above and far removed from there being any munazi', anyone to contest him, or any mughalib, anyone who can overcome him, or any wali min al-dhil, anyone dhul, that anyone can be, that he has need of someone to help him, or nasir, or a helper or supporter for him. Wa ta'ala fi samadiyatihi, and likewise in his characteristic a samadiyya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above, and He is high above and far removed from anyone ascribing to Him a sahiba, that He has a companion, or al-walad, or a child, or al-walid, a parent, or al-kufu, al-equal, or al-nadir, similar. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His samadiyya, His characteristic of samadiyya, that He is self-sufficient, He is without need of anything or anyone. But everything in the creation is in need of him, and everything in the creation turns to him for their needs. In this characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must negate from him that he has any companion, or that he has a child, or that he has a parent, or that he has an equal, or anyone that is similar to him. وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالْ حَيَاتِهِ وَقَيُّمِيَّتِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ. And we must also declare Allah to be high above and far removed in terms of the perfection of his life, and his being self-sufficient, qayyumiyya. In terms of this and his power, then we must declare that we must negate or disavow from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-maut, yani the possibility that Allah could die. Allah is high above such, because Allah's hayat is perfect and his qayyumiyya is perfect. Al-huwa al-qayyum means that everything is dependent upon him for the existence, and he is self-sufficient without any need of anyone. Therefore, we cannot ascribe to him al-maut, death, or as-sina, slumber, or naum, sleep, or ta'ab, tiredness, or i'aya, exhaustion. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not become tired, nor exhausted, nor does he sleep or slumber, nor can he die. Then he said, wa ta'ala fi kamal ilmihi, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is far above and high above and far removed in terms of the perfection of his knowledge from al-ghafla, that he could be inattentive or unmindful, when nisyan, that he could be forgetful, or that anything, even the weight of a small ant or an atom, can escape from his knowledge of whatever is in the earth and whatever is in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must negate from him such possibility that there is any unmindfulness or forgetfulness, or that anything escapes from his knowledge of whatever is in the heavens and the earth. وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ حِكْمَتِهِ وَحَمْدِهِ. And likewise in the perfection of his hikmah, his wisdom, and how he created and how he sustains and rules and regulates and arranges the affairs of the universe. وَفِي حَمْدِهِ, and his right to be praised due to his actions and his qualities and his characteristics, the perfection of his hikmah and the perfection of his right to be praised necessitates that we negate from him that he created the creation, yani without any purpose, and that he has left the creation without any purpose, without any order, and without any prohibition, and without any resurrection, and without any recompense for what the creatures have done in this world. This is yani beyond the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his hikmah in the creation of the creation, and in his actions that deserve to be praised. Wa ta'ala fi kamali adlihi, and likewise Allah is high above and far removed in the perfection of his justice. He is far removed from the possibility of doing any injustice, even the weight of a small ant, to anyone, or that he wrongs somebody in terms of taking something from their hasanat, from the good that they have done. No wrong will be done to anyone because of Allah's perfect justice. وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ غِنَاهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above and far removed in the perfection of his ghina, that Allah is yani without need, that Allah is rich and free of need. Allah is ghani, وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَىٰ, Allah is the one who is rich, who is without need, and the rest of the creatures are all poor and in need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his ghina, he is yani also high above and far removed from the possibility of being fed or being given sustenance, or that he be in need of anyone for anything. Allah is far above and far removed from such possibility. Then the Shaykh closes yani the detailed explanation that he is giving concerning the highness or the loftiness of Allah's sha'n or his qadr or his manzila, Allah's high status, or the perfection of his characteristics and his qualities. He said, وَتَعَالَ فِي جَمِيعِ مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَوَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنَ التَّعْتِيلُ وَالتَّمْثِيلُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high removed in reference to everything that he has described himself with, and everything that his messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ has described him with. It is beyond Allah that we should yani ascribe to him a ta'til or tamthil. That is, in reference to what he has described himself with, it is unlawful and it is unjust that anybody perform these crimes or the acts of a ta'til or a tamthil. A ta'til, it means to empty the names of Allah from their meaning, or to negate and deny their meaning. And a tamthil, it means to make examples for the characteristics of Allah in the characteristics of the creatures, that you make an example. How is Allah's characteristic, one of his sifat, the example for it is the example of the characteristic of a creature. This is prohibited. So this ta'til and this tamthil, both of these also are to be rejected and to be negated and disavowed from to be used or to be used in reference to the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally he said, وَسُبْحَانَهُ وَبِحَمْدِهِ وَعَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَتَنَزَّهُ وَتَقَدَّسُ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُنَافِي إِلَهِيَتِهِ وَرُبُوبِيَتِهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ أو يُنَافِي إِلَهِيَتَهُ وَرُبُوبِيَّتَهُ وَأَسْمَاعَهُ وَالْحُسْنَى وَصِفَاتِهِ الْعُلَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani these expressions are expressions of praise, having similar meanings, yani the affirmation of every perfection for Allah and the negation of any imperfection for Allah. Subhanahu wa bihamdihi, some of the scholars said that the meaning of this together, that at-tasbih, it means the negation of any imperfection for Allah, and alhamd, it means the affirmation of every perfection for Allah. Because of Allah's perfection, He is praised. And we say tasbih to negate any imperfection from Him. Azza wa Jalla, He is the mighty and the majestic. Wa tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He is the one who is blessed in His self and in His sifat. And He is the most high. Wa tanazza wa taqaddas, and He is the one who we negate from Him any type of defect or shortcoming or imperfection, and declare him to be the one who is holy and perfect, and who is free from everything that negates or that nullifies his ilahiyah, his uluhiyah, his divinity, and his rububiyah, his lordship, and his beautiful names, and his lofty characteristics. So here the Shaykh has mentioned a number of examples of the sifat of Allah that are lofty and high, and what we should negate in reference to the affirmation of those characteristics. If we affirm them for Allah, then we must negate from Him the opposite of them, that is His uniqueness and His greatness, and His being self-sufficient and independent, and having the perfection of life, and the perfection of knowledge, and the perfection of wisdom and praise, and the perfection of justice, and His being without need, perfectly without need of anything in the creation. Shaykh Abd Rahman al-Sa'di has mentioned some points here that are any further clarification of what we have discussed up until now, and it is worth mentioning something from them. From amongst what he has mentioned in his explanation or sharh of the section of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah's book Al-Kafiyah al-Shafiyah, the section entitled Tawheed al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, the Tawheed of the Anbiya and the Mursaleen, as opposed to the Tawheed of the people who have deviated and corrupted the Tawheed. In his explanation, Al-Haqq Al-Wadi Al-Mubin, Shaykh Abd Rahman Al-Sa'di, he has explained the poetry of Ibn Al-Qayyim in his mentioning of the names of Allah and the characteristics of Allah and the explanations. Then he has given further explanation of those names. From amongst the names that he explained is Al-Qahhar. And he said Al-Qahhar is the one who has vanquished or subdued everything in the creation. Jami' al-Kainat, everything that exists. And that everything of the created beings is humbled or abased and subjected to him, to his power and to his will. Everything that exists in the upper realms of this universe and in the lower realms of the universe, everything is in submission to Allah. He said that no action takes place, nor even stillness in the universe except by His permission. He said, whatever He wills, it will be, and whatever He does not will, it will not be. That all of the creatures are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are incapable or unable to do anything except by the help of Allah. He said, they don't possess anything for themselves. نَفَعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا وَلَا خَيْرًا وَلَا شَرًّا. That the creatures don't possess any benefit, nor any harm, nor do they possess anything that is good or that is evil. It is all controlled by Allah. Then Shaykh Abd Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, then the author, meaning Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said that his qahr, yani his supremacy over everything, it necessitates other characteristics. It necessitates, and this is what Shaykh al-Hakimi has mentioned earlier, concerning the manners of evidence or the indications of the Asma al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah, that they have different ways of indicating or pointing to the various qualities of Allah. And from amongst those ways is iltizam. Iltizam. The third of those manners that we discussed previously is iltizam. That some of the names of Allah, that first they point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, and then they point to the characteristic that is understood from that name. And thirdly, they point to other characteristics of Allah that are of necessity. If you reflect upon that name and that characteristic, it could not be unless there are also other characteristics for Allah. And here the Shaykh gives an example of that for Al-Qahhar. He said that Allah's supremacy, it necessitates His hayat, His life, and His izzah, His might, and His qudra, His power. He said, فَلَا يَتُمُّ قَهْرُهُ لِلْخَلِيقَ إِلَّا بِتَمَامِ حَيَاتِهِ وَقُوَّتِهِ وَعِزَّتِهِ وَاقْتِذَارِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His qahra, His supremacy over the creatures, it would not be perfected and completed unless there is the perfection of His hayat, His life. Also he has mentioned, from amongst that which he has mentioned in the same book, he has mentioned the names of Allah. And in the poetry of Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he has mentioned the names Al-Quddus and As-Salam. And the Shaykh Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah has mentioned these names previously when he talked about the four types of indications of At-Tadammun. Yani the indication of the names of Allah by Tadammun, that which the names indicate within them or composed of or point to. He said that from amongst them, is that they point to Allah directly, and that they point to the characteristics of Allah's divine being, sifat al-dhat, and they point to the characteristic of His action, sifat al-fi'l, and that they point to that which should be negated from Allah, that should be disavowed for Allah, and yani declaring Allah to be free from any type of imperfection. And he said that the names that indicate that is As-Salam al-Quddus. Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning these names, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned them in his book, Al-Kafi al-Shafi'ah, he said that Al-Quddus as-Salam, it is Al-Muqaddas, Al-Mu'azzam, Al-Munazzah, an kulli su, that it is the one who is holy, and the one who is exalted, and the one who is declared to be free from every type of evil or wrong. As-Salam mimma min mumathila ahadin min khalqihi wa min nuqsan wa min kulli ma yunafi kamalihi. And he is the one who is salam. As-salam, he is salam. He is free from anyone in the creation being similar to him, being like him. Al-mumathala, that anyone can be described to be similar to him or like him. And he is free from nuqsan, from any type of defect or shortcoming or any imperfection. And he is free from everything that negates his perfection. Yani as-salam, from the meanings of as-salam, is that Allah is free from anyone being like Him, and He is free from any type of defect, and He is free from everything that would mean the negation of His perfection. Then he said the dhabit, or the rule concerning this matter, yani what Allah should be, what should be disavowed or negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that we should negate from Allah every defect of any type or of any type whatsoever. And we should negate from Allah and declare Allah to be exalted above there being any mathil or shabih or kufu or sami or nid or mudad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above there being any mathil, something that is like Him, or shabih, that which is similar to Him, or kufu, that which is comparable or equal to Him, or sami, that which is equal to Him, or nid, a partner, or mudad, that which can oppose Him or be an opponent for Him. Allah is free from any possibility of these things. And He is also free from any defect in His characteristics. His characteristics being the characteristics of perfection, the greatest characteristics of all. Then He said that from the perfection or the completion of the tanzih, yani the declaring Allah to be free from such things, the perfection of it, what is required along with that, what is required along with declaring Allah to be free from any example or anything that is similar to Him or any type of defect or whatever, yani might be the negation of His perfection, to complete it, he said, it is required that we make affirmation. It's that sifat al-kibriya wal-azama, that to complete the negation of any defect from Allah, we must affirm. We must affirm also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristic of al-kibriya, that Allah is pride, and the one who has the right to be proud. And al-azama, that Allah is great, He is the greatest over everything. For indeed, the negation of imperfection from Allah, it is what is intended by it is something else. That is not the objective, negating His imperfection. That is not the objective. But the real objective, it is to affirm for Allah and to preserve and to perfect the characteristic of perfection. The characteristic of perfection from being distorted or corrupted by those who have evil thoughts about Allah, like the people of Jahiliyyah, Dhann al-Jahiliyyah, those who used to think evil of Allah. They used to think of Allah that which was not suitable or appropriate for him. And then he said, the servant, when he praises Allah, saying, Subhanallah, or taqaddas Allah, or ta'ala Allah, and that which is similar to such expressions, when the servant says this, Subhanallah, or ta'ala Allah, he said it means that he is praising Allah. He is praising Allah with two things. As-salama, bis-salama min kulli naqs, wa ithbat kulli kamal. When a person says Subhanallah, then there are two meanings contained here. When he says ta'ala Allah, there taqaddas Allah, there are two meanings. One, that Allah is free from any type of imperfection, and the other is the affirmation of Allah, yani the characteristic of perfection. So this is yani some benefit that the Shaykh has given concerning the matters that we have discussed in this question. There's just a few minutes remaining. Perhaps rather than to go on to the next question, which is very lengthy, and it is a very important question. Perhaps we can introduce it, but we will not be able to finish it. And the next question is related to the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning al-asma al-husna, man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. Yani, inna lillahi 99 isman. That Allah has 99 names. Min ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. In some of the narrations of the hadith, man hafidhaha dakhal al-jannah. Yani, whoever ahsaha or hafidhaha, that person will enter the jannah. And the Shaykh says that there are various meanings given to this hadith. How much time is remaining for that, man? 5 minutes? The Shaykh says that there are various meanings given to this hadith. From amongst the meanings, he said this has been explained with different meanings. From amongst those meanings, he gives three interpretations of man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. From amongst the meanings or the explanations that he has given, he said, حفظها ودعاء الله بها والثناء عليه بجميعها. Yani, one of the meanings is memorizing those names and supplicating Allah by those names and praising Allah by all of His names. Yani, one of the meanings of من أحصاها دخل الجنة, it means to memorize them and to supplicate to Allah by those names and to praise Him by them. And this is the best of the meanings that has been given by the scholars. And Ibn Qayyim, he has mentioned a discussion concerning this in some detail, perhaps, and we will discuss it later after mentioning what the Shaykh has said here. This is one of the meanings. The second of the meanings that he mentions, it is, yani, he is giving some tafsil or fuller explanation of the possible meaning that could be given to man ahsaha. He says that from the meanings that have been given, he said, concerning those things that it is permissible for the person to act in accordance with it. And in those characteristics, that it is permissible. يَصُوغُ الْإِقْتِدَاءُ بِهِ. And it is permissible that you act in accordance with that, that you follow that you take it as a model or an example. He said, it is like the name Ar-Rahim and Al-Kareem, the merciful and the generous or the noble. He said, such names, that is, it is permissible for the person to use as a model and try to model themselves after such characteristics. He said the person should train themselves, or they should accustom themselves to acting in accordance with those characteristics, such that it would be correct that they be described by it. Yani, this is in reference to those things, yani, or in a way that is suitable or appropriate to the human being. Yani, it is not that the person will take on the characteristic of Ar-Rahmah or Al-Karam, like the characteristic of Allah, but in the way that the human being is allowed to be described with being merciful or being generous. He said, those names that it is permissible to take as a model or an example and act in accordance with them, then the person should train themselves to act in accordance with these characteristics so that they would be described by it, so that it would be correct that they be described with such a description. And from amongst those names that are particular and specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Al-Jabbar, Al-Azim, Al-Mutakabbir. These names, Al-Jabbar, Al-Azim, Al-Mutakabbir, these are names that it is not fitting and it is not proper that the human being should try to be described with such names. He said, in reference to such names, it is required that the person affirm them and that they submit and surrender themselves in humility to these meanings that Allah is Al-Jabbar. Yani, the one who is over everything, who compels and forces whomever he wills or whatever he wills to do his will, that he is Al-Azim, the mighty and the great and the supreme, and Mutakabbir, he is the one who is great and who is proud. He said, these names, it is merely required that the human being should confirm them, should affirm their meaning, and that they should not attempt to describe themselves or to clothe themselves, yani, to wear these characteristics, to take them on for the human being, because these are characteristics that are exclusive to Allah alone. As for those characteristics that contain the meaning of al-wa'ad, yani, the promise that Allah promised, such as al-ghafoor, al-shafoor, al-afu, al-ra'uf, al-haleem, al-jawad, al-kareem, yani, that Allah is forgiving and that Allah appreciates what the human beings does and that Allah is pardoning and that Allah is merciful and forbearing and generous and so on. Such characteristics like this, from these names, he said, min ahsaha, it means that the person should take a stand concerning them having hope and being desirous of those things that Allah has promised. Being desirous and having hope that Allah will be generous and that Allah will be forgiving and that Allah will be pardoning and so on.
these names of Allah. He said, as for those names which contain the meaning of al-wa'id, al-wa'id, the threat. Al-wa'ad is the promise of Allah, and the wa'id is the threat of Allah. And as the scholars of Sunnah said, that Allah's promise is true and He will never fail to fulfill it. What He has promised, He will do. And what He has threatened with, He might fulfill it. And He might punish whomever He wills who has disobeyed Him justly. Or He might forgive them if He wills. As far as those characteristics that contain the meaning of al-wa'id, such as the characteristics of Aziz, the Mighty, Zuntiqam, the one who takes retribution, Shadeed al-Iqab, the one who is severe in punishment, Sari al-Hisab, who is quick in accounting, taking account. He said these characteristics, the person should take the position of al-Khashya wa Ruhba, that the person should have fear and be in awe, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's threat. This is the second interpretation, that we should look at the names of Allah in different ways. Those which are suitable for the human being to be described with, in accordance with the imperfection of the human being should try to possess these qualities, and those which are exclusive for Allah, we should acknowledge them and surrender ourselves with them, and those which have the meaning of promise, we should hope for it, and those which have the meaning of threat, we should fear it. The third interpretation of من أخفاها دخل الجنة, the Shaykh said, that it is the servant witnessing the names of Allah, يعني acknowledging the names of Allah and giving them their rights, giving, fulfilling the rights of those names, ma'arifatan wa ubudiyatan. Yani the right of knowing them, knowing their meanings and understanding them, and then worshipping Allah according to them. Knowing them and worshipping Allah according to them. The example of this that he gives, he said, he gives an example, and then he explains that example. The example of how we know the name of Allah and how we worship Him according to it, he said, the one who witnesses and acknowledges the highness of Allah, the ulu of Allah, over His creatures. Inshallah, we stop for the adhan. After the adhan, just complete this point, bi-idhnillah. Bismillah, wa salat, wa salam, wa rasulillah. And in the last explanation that the Shaykh, rahimahullah, has given concerning the meaning of the hadith, وَمَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and whoever preserves or protects, who understands and knows and acts in accordance with these beautiful names of Allah, that they will enter the Jannah. The third explanation he has given is that the person witness, yani acknowledge these names and give them their full rights in terms of knowing their meanings, understanding what they indicate and what they require of him, and then worshipping Allah in accordance with that. The example he has given is the person who witnesses the ulu of Allah. Yani the characteristic of Allah being high, lofty, being above His creation. He said, the person who witnesses the ulu of Allah above His creatures, His being above them, that He has ascended above His arsh, and that He is ba'inan min khalqihi, completely separate from His creation. Allah is al-khaliq, He is the creator, and everything else is makhluq, creation. And Allah is completely separate and distinct from His creation, He is not a part of it. And He doesn't go inside of it. He is completely separate from it, high above everything that He has created. He said, whoever acknowledges this, along with the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah, yani that Allah has knowledge of everything completely, and His power over everything, and whatever else this entails, and then they worship Allah in accordance with what is required or necessitated by this characteristic, such that the person's heart has a summit, yani the one that one seeks their needs from, one that one takes as a goal or an objective to fulfill one's needs, such that one's heart has a summit that it goes up to, calling on Allah, knocking and standing in front of Allah, standing like the humble servant who is in front of a mighty king, standing in front of Allah in light of Allah's loftiness, His sublimity, and that person feels, has the feeling, and as a result of knowing Allah's name and His characteristic, they have the feeling that His speech and that His actions are going up and that they are displayed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's above everything. That their actions are going up to Allah and that they are displayed openly in front of Allah. So that person will feel shy that anything from his speech or his actions would go up to Allah that would disgrace him, or that he would be exposed and shamed as a result of that. He will feel shy if he knows that Allah is high above everything, and Allah is lofty and sublime, and he will feel that Allah knows everything and Allah has power over everything, and he will be ashamed to speak or to act with anything that would be disgraceful in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person witnesses the descending of Allah's commands, his awamir and ahkam ilahiyah, that what Allah has ordered and the rulings that Allah has made and the judgments that Allah has made, the person sees it descending from all of the from every place in the creation at every time. He said, with every type of tadbir wa tasarruf that Allah manages and controls and arranges all of the affairs and everything, whether it is giving, causing death or giving life, or exalting somebody, giving them yani respect and honor, or degrading or belittling someone, lowering or raising, giving and holding, and removing the trials or afflictions or sending them upon the people, along with the turning of the days, yani the rotation of the affairs of the people, people's conditions changing from one condition to another, and other things from the tasarrufat, or the actions of Allah in His creation, in His dominion, in His kingdom, that no one can do except Him. If a person acknowledges these things, that it is Allah who is giving life and causing death, Allah is the one who gives whatever is given, or holds back whatever is held back, Allah is the one who controls all of these things, He is the one who raises up or lowers the people, it is Allah who gives honor or disgrace to the people. If somebody acknowledges this, then he said, and knowing that there is no one in the creation that can do so, and that whatever Allah orders or whatever He decides, it is executed in His creation, in His creatures, however He wills. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Sajdah, chapter 32, verse 5, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. That He is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ, He is the one who controls the affair, the matters, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, يعني from the heavens to the earth, or everything that is between the heavens and the earth. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ, then it will all go back to Him, go up to Allah in a day which its measure will be like the measure of 1,000 years according to the way that the people are counting today, on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said that whoever fulfills this mashhad, yani whoever witnesses this scene, whoever focuses upon this and reflects upon it and acknowledges it, who gives it its full right, مَعْرِفَةً وَعُبُودِيَةً, knowing it fully, and acting, yani worshipping Allah in accordance to such, then that person would be free of need. He would be, yani he would be istaghni بِرَبِّهِ, he would be free of need of everyone and everything. He would be made free of need by his Lord, Allah alone, and Allah would be sufficient for him. He said this is the example of knowing yani the sifat of Allah, the names of Allah and His characteristics, and then worshipping Allah in accordance with that, acting in accordance with this. And he said likewise, it is similarly, it is the one who witnesses the knowledge of Allah, which is all-encompassing, or the hearing, or the sight of Allah, and the life of Allah, and Allah's self-sufficiency, and other than that. He said, it is the same for the one who witnesses this, who understands it, knows it, acknowledges, reflects upon it, and acts in accordance with it. He said, it is the same for them. And he said that no one is given such, yani, no one is given, yani, is blessed by Allah, yani with such to witness this scene and to understand it in this way, except as-sabiqoon, al-muqarrabun, those who are the foremost in doing good deeds, and the muqarrabun, who are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to their worship of Him and their obedience of that which He has sent and revealed in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the end of what he has said concerning this question, concerning the meaning of من أحصاها دخل الجنة. And Ibn Qayyim, he has mentioned and also an explanation of this that perhaps we'll mention in the next lecture. With that, we'll stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any correction of what has been said, or any comment, we can take now, inshaAllah, just maybe any few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. Tafadda, ya akhi. Naam.
His seeing is like you can see in a dark night on a dark rock, a dark cat, he can see that much. Does this make it complete? Or is this just giving further information of his
The brother's question is it permissible, if we said that it is not permissible to make tamthil, to make examples of Allah's sifat, then is it an example of making tamthil when we say that Allah sees everything, and He can see a black ant that is in the darkness of the night walking on a black stone? Yani, is that a tamthil? It is not tamthil if it is from divine revelation. Because tamthil, it means that the human being uses his mind to try to explain or to describe Allah by an example, that is tamthil, or describing it without any example, that is taqif. This is prohibited for the human being to use their intellect to explain Allah's characteristics or to describe them or to make an example for them. However, if it is from revelation, the Prophet ﷺ has made such a statement, so if it is from revelation, then it is permissible. But what is not permissible is for the human being to use his intellect to make examples or to make descriptions or comparisons of Allah with something in the creation. Allahu a'lam. There was somebody else had a question? No. 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 Okay, inshallah. Sister asked a question in reference to the ayah in Surah Al-Sajdah, the last ayah which we mentioned, that everything would descend up to Allah on a day which would be equal in measure to 1,000 years. Yani alfa sanatin mimma ta'uddun. Yani it means it would be equal to 1,000 years according to what we consider as a year today. What we consider as a year in our timing, it would be a day. That day, it would be equal to what today is equal to 1,000 years. Can you give him the tapes in my office in a brown bag? So the meaning of it, Nam, it means that day at that time, it would be called a day. However, its length of time would be like 1,000 years of our time today. Wallahu a'lam. Brother had a question in the back. Somebody? Tafadhal.
You mentioned from Sheikh Sa'di that tasbih refers to two things. And you mentioned as-salam, and then the second thing you mentioned.
Naam. As-salama min al-naqs. Means that Allah is free from any defect or shortcoming. Wa ithbat al-kamal. And the confirmation or the affirmation of perfection for Allah. Yani, you can say in simple words, it means the negation of any imperfection and the affirmation of perfection. And the affirmation of perfection. Okay, we'll stop here inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.